Empowerment means very little without financial inclusion, and that's what we're going to be looking into in a bit more detail as we continue our Women's Day special. We're going to be taking a look at the importance of financial inclusion, wealth creation, and collective spending, especially where it relates to women and women-owned businesses. I'm joined on the line by serial entrepreneur and founder at Femio, Mona Lisa Zwambila, to take a look at this and see what we make of it. Mona Lisa, lovely having you on the show. Thanks so much for taking the time. Let's perhaps start with the hard truth around financial inclusion, wealth creation, and the economic costs at the moment that are specifically confronted by women.
Okay, great. Well, firstly, thank you for having me. It's great to be on your show. I think, you know, women really do have several challenges when it, you know, comes to finances. And what we know for sure, financial inclusion is very difficult to be had when gender inequality exists. And, you know, some stats that really are quite alarming is the fact that in South Africa, the gender pay gap is sitting between 23 and 35%, which is interestingly well above, you know, the ILO's average. And this is in a country where we have amazing policies for women, but we still have a situation where women are being paid less. And so, you know, when we obviously have the financial inclusion conversation, we do need to look at some of these issues. Another point to note, which is really an important one, is the fact that we know that 42% of households in South Africa are led by women. And so women have this additional burden of being caregivers, earning less, and the financial inclusion debate then says, how are women able to do that under these circumstances?
Mona, how are women able to do that? I mean, if we're looking at things around spending power, it's very clear as a result of conversations like inequality in pay, the gender pay gap drives a very clear message that women might not always have the same spending power as men, but they somehow still manage to make better decisions and more sustainable financial decisions. Where's the secret here?
Well, the truth is, I think it's a massive struggle for women generally. What we know from a marketing perspective is that most purchase decisions are made by women. Globally, it's sitting at around 70 to 80%. In South Africa, it's 65% of all purchase decisions are made by women. But it's a number like 80% of all, you know, supermarket purchases are made by women. So despite these, you know, financial challenges, we know that women are still doing the most in terms of spend because they are caregivers, they are, you know, mothers, etc. And so you find that women are actually the ones that are spending the little money they have, you know, to, and that obviously impacts the economy as well.
Mona, you just launched Femio. Now, for those that don't know about this particular initiative, this was launched just last week. It is squarely aimed at addressing some of these serious concerns and challenges that confront women around financial inclusion, around equality or inequality, as it would be at this stage, whether we're looking at the power of collective voices and collective collaborations. Tell us about what brought this particular initiative about, because this isn't the first business you've launched, but it is a very important business for where we find ourselves at the moment.
No, absolutely. I mean, Femio is definitely more than a passion project or a new business. It really is a business that's been built very much on my lived experience. Single mother, have done the struggle over the years in terms of how to make ends meet. And so the statistics that I shared earlier are very much personal, not only to me as a woman, but I'm sure to the many women that are listening to this conversation. And I really wanted to try and find a solution that would benefit women, not only through words and, you know, panel discussions and conversations, but something that would really benefit women and help them, you know, have more disposable income at the end of each month. Because ultimately, financial independence is one of the big things that women need, and it is one of their biggest aspirations. So Femio is really built on that premise, to find a way to, you know, actually ensure that we can drive gender equality, but do it really from a financial perspective. So what the app does, it's built on a simple premise that at scale, we have the numbers as women, and at scale, you know, women are able to negotiate for better pricing. You know, women collectively are able to have agency socially and collectively. And, you know, the way we are doing that is really just focusing on an insight that we know for sure. And that's really built around the fact that women generally, over and above the gender pay gap, women have a cost just by virtue of their biology. You know, women spend money on menstrual costs, reproductive costs, menopause, costs of safety. And this is almost like an additional tax that women have by virtue of their biology. And so Femio as an app, I'm encouraging women to download the app. What it does is it helps you calculate your monthly cost of being a woman, and then it works to give you that money back. And that is really the aspiration for Femio, is to literally put tangible money back into women's pockets and to be able to track how much money you're able to get back on the app. The way you do that is through partners. We've been aggressively, you know, looking to grow the partner network side of the app so that women are able to benefit from rewards, from savings, discounts that actually put money back in their pockets and really assist them with their daily lives.
Mona, when we look at the financial inclusion conversations and we look at the empowerment conversations, particularly as they relate to women and women entrepreneurs, I suppose, given that you come from that environment as well, how do we continue to advance that conversation beyond just a conversation? I mean, Femio is one such initiative, one such example of something that can be tangibly done to address some of the challenges that are out there. But what else do you feel needs to be done? You touched on conversations around government putting in place policies. Where else do you think work needs to be done to ensure that we achieve greater inclusion?
Look, I mean, one of the reasons, once again, I started Femio is because there are loads of policies. Implementation of policy is possibly an area that needs to be focused on. Last year, the World Economic Forum released research on gender equality globally. And what the research revealed is the fact that gender parity will only be reached in 123 years. And that's not even in my lifetime, our children's lifetime, or their children's lifetimes. And so I think what is clear is that the gender inclusion, the gender equality conversation has to go beyond policy. And also, I do believe that there are opportunities for private sector to also see how they can, you know, contribute to ensuring that there is inclusion, there's, you know, gender equality, and that we start to lessen the gender pay gap. But I do also believe there are some, you know, areas that government should start looking at that actually impact, you know, the amount of disposable income women have. For me, the fact that women and men, single mothers and, you know, single you know, individuals are taxed exactly the same when a single mother might have more dependents, it for me is already something, you know, that could be looked at. And various others, we could look at, you know, pension and retirement, and how when women have to stay home to look after their children, how do we ensure that they're still able to, you know, have retirement, you know, ensure that their retirement isn't impacted by the time they retire. So there's quite a few tangible areas that should be looked at beyond policy that will really sort of help to, I guess, change the equation when it comes to what women earn and how they survive day to day.
Mona, you mentioned policy and how it is that that could be a catalyst towards improving the inclusion conversations and the equality conversations we're having at the moment. What other bottlenecks are you seeing in the economic sense that continue to stand between women and achieving greater financial inclusion and perhaps greater wealth creation?
The policies are there. I think South Africa possibly has one of the most progressive policies for women globally. And that shows up in the number of women that we see in management positions, the number of women we see in parliament. You know, we're really up there with the best in the world. what I think where the challenges sit really is from a social perspective. We know that nearly 26 million people are on social grants, the majority of them women who are or grandmothers that are raising, you know, children. We know that there's a lot of cultural and structural issues that women also need to contend with that also impact their ability to earn, you know, and the way it is great, as we know. But it's also important that the implementation of those policies is really, you know, done at sort of grassroots level as well.
Achieving greater inclusivity and improving the inequality gap that we find in South Africa requires collective effort, as well as the ability to understand where some of our problems actually sit. We'll have to leave this conversation on that note. Serial entrepreneur and founder at Femio, Mona Lisa Zwambila, joining us to take a look at achieving greater inclusivity, particularly in entrepreneurship.